This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Two full games up on Colorado. That is awesome. Good stuff there after a terrific game last night to watch. And the Diamondbacks race out to a 5-0 lead. We'll talk about all things Diamondbacks with Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Insider. He's going to weigh in with us at about 10:15. Not just the Diamondbacks and Dodgers tonight. Also, Paul Goldschmidt versus Giancarlo Stanton for the MVP. What's Pedro see on that front? And then you've got to look at this weekend. Yeah, it's Labor Day weekend, but it's also the Diamondbacks at Colorado this weekend. So it doesn't get any better than that to get the month started, to have the Diamondbacks and Rockies, and 74-58 now for the hometown nine. That was fun. Did you watch last night, E?
Yeah, I watched almost the entire game, including the ninth inning where Fernando Rodney threw 33 drama-filled pitches.
But every single one of them was drama-filled.
But hey, you know what? You got the save. All that matters.
He's done a great job statistically this year, but gosh almighty, it's an adventure every time he's out there.
Especially in the last 10 or 11 appearances, he's been really good. Really good.
But he just feels like, I hate to be the guy that's going to throw the wet towel, but I'm going to do it anyways. It just feels like he's going to be the guy when it's the one-game playoff, and it's 3-2 Diamondbacks in the ninth inning. Or they get through that first game, and it becomes the Dodgers series. And, you know, like we saw out of him at L.A. back in July when I think the season really started to turn in a direction where the Dodgers, I think, are 20 games up or something ridiculous.
Fernando Rodney has 33 saves, and he has an ERA of just under 5.
Gosh, it's just...
And that's after, like, 11 or 12 really good appearances out of the pen.
That is...
4.63 is his ERA.
That is just... Oh, my gosh.
Archie Bradley's ERA, 1.35.
Don't you think a year from now he's the closer, Archie?
Sure.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
But then Archie's, you're going to start looking at Archie and say, are you going to be a guy that wants to go to big city at some point?
Maybe, or become a starter.
Because he's making some money. We have not just Pedro today. Coming up at 11 o'clock, it is Talk to the Lopes. Every Wednesday, we have Grand Canyon University Talk to the Lopes. This week, it is their athletic director. I think he's done a very good job. GC Vice President of Athletics, Mike Vaught. That comes up at 11. And then at 11:15-ish, we'll have our hashtag Friday Night 360AZ preview show with Haley Stasiak and Jordan Hamm. They give you the first look, the biggest look, with guests all over the place for the coming Friday night of high school. Thursday night, too. Thursday and Friday night. Where are you going this Friday? E, do you know yet?
I do. I'm going to Casa Grande at Sunrise Mountain. Sunrise Mountain has a new hotshot quarterback taking over for Chase Cord, who's now at Boise State.
Sunrise Mountain, that's like 101 and 75th Avenue or something like.
Yep.
And Casa Grande is Casa Grande. So we're talking about a 80-mile road
that's
trip?
That's a long trip.
That's a heck of a road there.
They have to come up the 10 and around the city. And
Casa Grande's pretty good.
They're not bad.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
They're not bad.
Yeah, so I remember seeing a story that I think Andy did.
They're 1-1.
Yeah, all right. You know, you're not convincing me here, so maybe I'm in over my skis.
I haven't seen him play.
You going to ASU tomorrow night?
I am.
Why?
TV show. Footage.
You don't have the Pac-12 network either.
And I love college football.
I could invite you down to the house, but basically you'd have to take a vacation day to get down there from your house. So
I'm just really excited for college football. I'm hoping that ASU plays well. I think they're going to play well. I don't know much about Jason Jewell's alma mater, New Mexico State. I just know that they're not exactly a football power. No offense to Jason.
If you're Major Applewhite, are you looking at Arizona and Arizona State as my next stop? And I bring that up because Houston's game was canceled this week against UTSA.
As it should have been.
Since
they're in Austin.
Yeah,
I mean.
Right. Well, and here's the thing on all this. If you know that there's some coaches that are in trouble, and there are coaches in trouble in Tucson and Tempe, that's just a fact. If you're Mike Norvell, or is Mike Norvell an SEC guy?
He's going to be an SEC guy.
Okay, if you're Major Applewhite, Do you look at what's going on out here in Tempe and in Tucson and say, hey, Mr. Agent, you need to reach out to somebody?
I would think ASU would be able to fish for a little bigger catch than that, but nothing against Major Applewhite, but he hasn't even coached one single college game as a head coach.
So, but we're in a space where if you recognize the guy, if you're Ray Anderson, you've got your NFL pedigree, you have your Stanford education, and you know your way around pretty darn good.
And ASU is a stepping stone job. Sorry, it is.
But when can you turn it into not being a stepping stone job?
Boy, that is the $64,000 question, isn't it?
Because, look.
Bruce Snyder did. He's probably the last one.
There you go. That's a good call. That's a great call. But even Bruce, towards the end, God rest his soul, Bruce and I went through some tough stuff because I thought he stopped recruiting as hard. When they went to the Rose Bowl, and by the way, ASU fans, the last time you're in the Rose Bowl, I don't care if U of A's never gone. It's you against you. It's not you against everybody else. It's not, look in my front yard. I have a big boat and some jet skis. Yeah, and they've collected rust. They're not going anywhere. You know, you're making payments on something you can't afford. So when I hear this, well, you know, we've been to the Rose Bowl and they haven't. Who cares what they do? And if you're U of A, U of A is just kind of like, yeah, whatever, up there. You know, we have our basketball program that's going to be ranked in the top three, top four. And football is just kind of sort of something to do to pass some time. I'm interested in college football because there's stories like Ohio State is playing tomorrow night. Now, they're playing Indiana in Bloomington. That game will be over at the coin flip. But it's still watching Ohio State. Anu Solomon is going to quarterback at Baylor. That, to me, is really interesting because he couldn't get on the field down in Tucson. So yeah, there's some really good stuff on the college football front. We'll talk much more about the Diamondbacks on the other side with Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst and insider. It is a Wednesday. There is a ton going on here in our great state. Thanks for being with us. We have content up on our website, Pro College High School, High School College Pro. Makes no difference to us. Check it out, sports360az.com. Back with Pedro Gomez. And now ESPN baseball analyst, Insider Valley resident Pedro Gomez. He's on the run because he has to do a national hit on ESPN radio here. What, in like 8 minutes, 10 minutes, thereabouts? You have some time?
Yeah, like 10, 11 minutes.
All right. If you got to just step on me, just step on me. Just say, Brad, shut up.
No,
I have
never.
To leave.
I'm not that tall.
Yeah, you could kick me in the kneecaps. You're
the ankle, maybe.
Your National League MVP vote today would be...
I think I'm going to go with the D-backs first baseman.
You're not going to go with the Marlins dude.
You know, if they make the postseason, he probably will get it.
All right.
If the Marlins somehow make it, because don't forget, they were 17-30 at one point this season. And what he's done in the second half to kickstart that club is certainly going to give him a lot of votes. If the D-backs make the postseason and the Marlins don't, I think Goldschmidt has a better chance. If Stanton reaches 62, he may get the national appeal and get it.
So you know those two play each other still. There's three games here in Phoenix with Miami, which it's September 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. That's pretty cool because if the two are dead heat-ish, right? They both will know. We could potentially see a pretty good show, and who knows where the Diamondbacks and Marlins are going to be in the playoff race, too, so in the wild card race. So.
Yeah, I just think that when you look at most valuable, Goldschmidt means, you know, he does so many things. Stanton is fantastic. He's a fantastic slugger. But Goldschmidt, you know, plays a great first base, runs the bases really well.
Yep.
Yeah, hits in the clutch, hits for power, you know, drives in runs. And Stanton can be viewed more as a one-trick pony, so to speak, because he's a home run hitter. Although his batting average, his hitting skills have gotten much better this year. Mm-hmm. He's hitting, I think, 25 points over his career batting average. And look, if the Marlins get really close to the postseason and don't make it, that might be enough to sway a lot of voters towards Stanton.
Talking about Pedro Gomez, the game last night, I don't know if you saw it or not with the Diamondbacks and Dodgers, but once again, Fernando Rodney. Eric was telling me his ERA is like 4.6 or something, and he's got 33 saves.
But he gets the job done.
He gets the job done but doesn't it feel like, Pedro, he's going to be there wild card day, 3-2, ninth inning, two-run jack, goodbye, see you later? It just has this bad feel about it. It does.
There's just not – look, there's a reason that they signed him to be their closer at age 40, because there's not many guys that can do that job.
Yeah.
And while his numbers are not great, that's not an easy job to have. And we've seen guys that think they're closers, but they're really not. And Rodney has been one for years. And look, he's an outspoken guy. I saw what he said after the game last night. And yeah, he's a high wire act.
Mm-hmm.
There are guys that, you know, like Mariano Rivera, like Dennis Eckersley, who were three up, three down almost every time.
Hall of Famers.
You know, just slamming
famers.
The door
yeah.
shut. And Rodney's not that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And they don't have any options at this point. I mean, you could flip Archie
no,
back there.
No, exactly.
But why mess up that side of it? Colorado Diamondbacks, are they going to be the two wild cards in your view?
I think the Diamondbacks definitely will because of the better pitching. The Rockies are even though the Diamondbacks have, you know, kind of stumbled here the last couple of weeks, but I still think their pitching is better. And when you talk to people in the game, they agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
The Rockies have a great offense, but they've got to straighten out some bullpen issues. You know, Greg Holland has been taken out of the closer's role. They've got more issues right now. I still think the Rockies squeak in there, but boy, the way the Brewers and the Marlins are playing, it could be a really, really good race to the end.
Yeah, and in the series this weekend in Colorado, okay, so I guess when I'm looking at where the Diamondbacks are right now and going up to Colorado, you don't want to have a one-game playoff in Colorado. You want to have that one-game playoff in Phoenix. Or does it not matter when it gets to that point?
Well, the way it's lining up, I mean, the one-game playoff will be Zach Greinke. I think all things, you know, if you're the Diamondbacks, you'd much rather play it in Phoenix. I would agree with you because that Colorado offense does really well up there.
Sure.
And you know, it'll be a fevered crowd. It'll be, I think, crazier up there than it will be at Chase Field.
I agree with that.
And for that reason, I think it would be better for that game, for the D-backs to play that game in Phoenix. But having said that, the Diamondbacks do have the better starting pitcher potentially in Zach Greinke, no matter who the Rockies send out there.
Yeah, I saw where Kershaw's been named into the Dodgers series next week out in L.A. against the Diamondbacks. And
yeah, he's scheduled to come back Friday, I think.
Yeah,
in San Diego.
But so if I'm the Diamondbacks, I need to get this thing wrapped up. I cannot go into the Kansas City series, which is a month from now. We're just a month away of the regular season being over. Three at Kansas City. I have to have this thing done, and actually, I've got to get it done before that to set Greinke down. I got to do that. And I
yeah,
don't
because you may have to. You don't want to have to save him for game 162 to get in,
right?
And not have him available for the wild card game. So, of course, you're right about that, and that's going to be up to the D-backs. They're going to have to, you know, try to get things going so that they don't have to use him in game 162. Right now, they're in a good position where they don't, but there's still a full month left, like you said, Brad. And you know, if they have to use him in on that last Sunday in the regular season, their hopes definitely diminish for the wild card game.
Well, and Pedro, I think, too, it's the correct me on this. The wild card is Thursday now, right? It's not. It used to be the day after or one day after. I'd heard it's going to be later now. There's going to be a break. Is that right? That's what I've heard, and I don't know that
to
be
true. You
know
what? I will check on that. I don't have that right in front
of me. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's
what I thought. It was either Tuesday. I thought it was either Tuesday or Wednesday.
That's what I thought, and I've had some people have sent me notes saying, no, it's Thursday. Well, if it's Thursday and Greinke has to throw in game 161.
Well, no, that changes a lot of things.
Sure,
obviously.
But I don't know that as fact. So
you know what? After we hang up, I will text you with the answer.
How's that? I mean, Pedro's got to go do a national spot, and he's pushing up in front. So, and who knows? There's just a bunch of people that sent me that, and I'm like, am I missing something here? But anything else?
Yeah, the postseason has been announced, but I'm going to try to find it while we talk.
No, that's fine. Find it while we talk, because you're multi-skilled, multi-talented. What's going on nationally that has caught your eye? Should the Rangers be getting beat up over this thing with Houston? Or, you know, I mean, I've seen that story. What's caught your eye nationally?
Not necessarily, because 2 years ago, let's not forget, the Baltimore riots took place, Brad, and the Orioles they were playing the Tampa Bay Rays that weekend. And the Rays offered, hey, we can just shift the whole series to Tampa. But it wasn't a swap.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't then give up three home games and give those to Baltimore, even though they're in the same division. And the riots took place the first week of May. So there was definitely plenty of time when you're playing a divisional rival to do something like that. Baltimore took those three games in Tampa as the home team.
Yeah.
And that's what the Rangers offered. The Rangers said, you can come up here, be the home team, and we'll host the games, but we're not going to swap. And there is no precedent in Major League Baseball for that. So, yeah, they're getting beat up, and they're an easy target right now because of everything that's going on. But the reality is that the Rangers did what any other club would do, offer to move the games here, and you're the home team, and you get all the gates. Don't worry about any of that.
Yeah.
The Astros wanted to swap the series at the end of September. And the Rangers said, our fans have plans for those games. We have tickets sold for those games. That's a big series, no matter when it's played, don't forget, because it's in state.
Sure, sure.
And the Rangers didn't want to do that. And really, I talked to a couple of team presidents, and they said they would agree with what the Rangers offered.
All right. I got to let you go because you're coming up to your hit, and you don't have the answer yet, which is fine. Just text it to me if you get it. So it'll be the word according to Pedro.
I will absolutely, absolutely text it to you.
All right. I appreciate you looking while we're talking. Thanks. There's Pedro Gomez. See you later. Valley resident.
All right.
We all do that, right? I mean, we multitask. We do like three things at one time. It's not rude in this day and age. It's what we do. It's check it out. That's good stuff with Pedro. Giancarlo versus Goldschmidt. What direction do you go on that? I like that. We have a couple extra minutes in this segment. So Shane Doan, the Republic ran a big deal this morning where he thanked the fans. And that's fine. And that's nice. That's what a guy like Shane Doan does. And it's not a surprise that he would take out an ad and do something like that. Shane Doan was already gone from the Coyotes, though. And so he wasn't going to be back. And it's nice of him to do that, and I hope that the organization somewhere down the road decides to bring him back in some capacity. To think that you can't name Shane Doan president of the Arizona Coyotes and go walk him into places or go give him some senior executive vice president of nothing title like Cotton Fitzsimmons used to have with the Suns. That's the easy, smart thing to do for a guy like Shane Doan. We love Shane. I don't know anybody who doesn't like Shane Doan. I remember one time when they're in the playoffs, this is one of the defining moments of when I wanted to get the heck out of local television. The Coyotes won a playoff game, and I go to Shane. I said, hey, can you come on live with me? It's 10 o'clock at night, and they're doing this stupid stuff like Cat in a Tree and water rising down by the river at Tempe Town Lake. And it was stuff that was like, this really isn't news. And Shane's standing there patiently. And 1 minute goes by, 2 minutes. Finally, I just scream at the producer, I need it now. Give it to me now. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. No, this was a producer who'd been around forever who didn't like sports, who didn't care about sports, who didn't care that we worked our ass off to bring someone over, to bring them live on the air. And Shane afterwards, he's like, whoa, I've never seen you like that, big guy. And we kind of joked about it. And no, respect what we do, okay? He was so gracious about it, and it's always been fun.
So is this a situation, Brad, where you think Doner was sort of kicking the tires this summer, seeing if there was a team out there, a contender, a serious cup contender that would take a flyer on him for a year? Or was this, yeah, I think I'm done. I don't want to play for another team. My legacy is in Arizona.
It's probably a little bit of both.
I would think so.
Probably a little bit, because I'm sure family had something to do with him, and look, you don't just sit down yesterday afternoon and script out a letter. You don't just do it yesterday afternoon and send it out and say, here, Arizona Republic. That's something that you decide a week ago, 2 weeks ago. It's great that he went underwater. This is something that a very wise man told me once when I had some big life things. Go underwater, disappear for 3-4 weeks, come up for air, you'll see things much more clearly. Sometimes people need to do that for 2 months, 3 months, 5 months. You had to go underwater when you got blown out, you know, and you had to come up for air and you had to figure it out. I think that anybody that is going to do big things, doesn't matter if it's athlete, businessman, doesn't matter. You don't want to rush into the decision. You also don't want to go someplace like Emmett Smith coming and playing for the Cardinals. What happened to Emmett Smith's legacy? It didn't really work out all that great. Why did he do it? Because he wanted to pad his stats. He came here and got crushed. Not a smart move. Guy like Joe Montana, he leaves San Francisco, he goes to Kansas City. What happens? He gets crushed. You see these guys want to hang out. Steve Nash. Steve Nash wanted to keep playing. Love Steve. Steve's great. Steve wasn't happy when I said this, but he was done, finished, finito with the Suns. He couldn't move. He went to L.A., and I think he lasted 3 games, okay? It paid off for the Suns a little bit, but there's this deal with athletes where they want to keep playing. Did Luis Gonzalez need to go to San Francisco at the end? Did he have
did?
To? Did he
San
have
San Francisco?
Did he have to go play for the Dodgers at the end?
I knew it was a Dodger. He played for the Giants?
I'm just kidding. Seeing if you're awake over there.
Wow. You had me all worried. I knew he played for the Dodgers. I thought he retired as a Dodger, technically, and then formidably retired as a Diamondback.
So if you think of great players, and they leave here, and they go places, and they bounce around.
I think you hit most of them right on the head.
You know, if Larry Fitzgerald. So what Larry Fitzgerald wants to do is what Calvin Johnson did, right?
Yep.
He's already referred to that a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, Fitz isn't going to go play for anybody else. He's going to retire whenever.
I think he's. You know, Eric, on that one, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. It would make the most sense for him to do it, but that's spelled sense with an S, okay? There's a sense that's spelled with a C. Not that he needs to do it.
He has his hands in many different things besides football.
Right. No, I get
that. You know
that
better than anybody.
I get that, but when you see the lack of wide receiving talent, even Fabiano yesterday was talking about, like, in awe of, look at Larry Fitzgerald and look at the numbers he's still putting up. And so if you're that productive and you see a situation that arises, if Tom Brady calls and says, why don't you come over here and let's get this done? Why don't we get you that ring? Don't you think that that would drive some? Shane Doan coming back to the Coyotes, come on. He's not going to win a ring here. So his circle, whatever his circle consisted of, his agent, his family, whatever, they sit down, they craft a letter, they send it to the Republic publishes it, and Shane Doan is done.
And if I'm a higher up at the Coyotes right now, I'm sitting around a big boardroom table, and we're thinking about, okay, what's the statue going to look like of Shane Doan? How quickly can we get this done? Are we going to bother with this since we're probably going to be moving out of the arena? That would be a nice touch by the Coyotes, because if anybody deserves a statue, it's Shane Doan.
If you made Shane Doan your COO, okay, you made him the CEO, whatever title you want to give him.
He'd be a good one.
But you don't want him to do hockey operations. If Shane Doan says, you know what? I am the one guy that can keep hockey in Arizona.
He was the ambassador for the Coyotes on the ice. He certainly can be the same off the ice.
Sure, sure. So is it that far-fetched that, look, go underwater for another 3-4 months, go do some color commentary, give Tyson a night off. Give Tyson a night off. You're not taking Tyson's job. You know, the first thing Shane would say is, Tyson, I'm not taking your job. You know what? Let's go put Shane Doan down on the ice and have him do the interview, and people will watch, and have him just do a couple games. Go be a dad. Go disappear for a little bit in terms of public eye, but go represent the organization where you do show up and you do have the juice that you could sit with CEOs and CFOs and bankers and investors and say, I want to keep hockey here. He can be more valuable in that regard than he's been as a player. Because look, it's over and there's no rings here. That's not his fault. It's not his fault. But there's no ring. So what's the next best thing he can do? He can step forward and be that guy that leads the way. Nobody's going to say, I'm not taking a meeting with Shane Doan that is into marketing their product and keeping that name out. Nobody will. It's just me. LeVar Ball's reality show. Do I have to? I don't think Eric wants me to, but I have to get into that a little bit. And some more college football on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So there's a couple fun stories today, and I usually say these for later in the show. And there's also some breaking news on the high school platform. Jordan just came racing in here on the eligibility of a star quarterback, and we're going to have that here in about, I don't know, 5-6 minutes. The high school show, Friday night, 360 AZ with Jordan and Haley, comes up at 11:15. And based on what they just told me, this is pretty big deal, pretty big stuff. It's a pretty big deal. So that's for you high school fans. That's coming up here in a minute. LeVar Ball, I know you're done with him, but there's people that aren't. I think that's the sad part of our society today. And you're going to say, well, why are you talking about it? Why are you even giving him attention? I know this is one of those where I just kind of want to hold my nose while I do it, but it's just so dumb that you have to address it. So LeVar Ball got a reality show.
Great.
And
of course he did.
Of course he did.
I guess so. Shoes aren't selling very well.
It's, you know, Eric, when stuff like this comes up, you don't know what else to say other than, there's the Kardashians and there's the Balls and they're going to go make gobs of money. And at the end of the day, you just want to see basketball being played the right way. And you don't want crazy dads. And I've dealt with crazy dads. That dad was, you know, just a marketer. And I've dealt with Don King, and that's somebody wanting to be Don King. And now someone's come along and has said, hey, so we're going to have a reality show. Here's the thing that's interesting to me. So they've been shooting this and they've had people sign waivers. And they've had him mic'd up. Now, if you remember, LeVar Ball kicked out a referee. So I'm probably guessing here, and I'm not going to watch. I'm not. People say, oh, I'm not going to watch, and then they watch.
No, I'm going to watch. I'll watch an episode. I have to.
Don't you think?
I just have to see what it's like.
If he staged some of this stuff, then it's like the Harlem Globetrotters and the Washington Generals, and yet people are going to go crazy over it. And so, look at all the views. That's why when I talk, when people are like, well, look at all the views. Yeah, it's crap. Doesn't mean you should, if you want clicks and views, you know, you can go get clicks and views a lot of bad places.
And we're living in and have lived in an era of reality TV.
Oh my gosh.
Which is really anything but reality. So it doesn't surprise me that he's going to have his own show.
And you are going to watch, huh?
I'm not going to watch consistently, but I would like to see what it's like. I might only be on it for 3 or 4 minutes, be like, yeah, this is as bad as I thought it was.
You're married.
Yes.
You have dogs.
We do.
You have an interest in travel.
We do.
You have an interest in cooking.
Yep.
You like the outdoors.
We do.
You have a job.
Yep.
She has a job.
She does.
You sleep.
Yep.
Where do you find 4 minutes to just kill?
You should see what our DVR looks like.
Oh, really?
It's a whole smorgasbord of cooking shows.
Would she watch this with you?
Sports documentaries, teen
moms.
There's
not a chance my mom or my wife would watch this.
MTV reality shows. It's just a whole mess of stuff.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if somehow is it on a network? Is this where is this thing going to be on?
It's going to be online. I'm not even going to say where because it's not worth them getting they want the pub and they want the click.
Sure.
You know, I'll put worth a click, not worth a click. So I'm not going to post it, but it is out there and there will be people that will say, man, this is so cool.
This is not
good. This is so amazing.
This is not smart placement for them.
Why?
Because the NBA is like in the back of everyone's mind. They should drop this like the day or the week of the Lakers opening the season against fill in the blank team.
But isn't it a money grab?
Of course.
There's no difference in the shoe being released, which very few people have bought reportedly, right? I don't see anybody wearing it when I'm out at games because
no.
They're not doing that.
And I guess it doesn't matter, Brad, because it's LeVar Ball. And the news cycle will always be front and center whenever LeVar Ball pops into it. So
I can't wait for a Suns game. This goes back to local TV. There's going to be some producer who has at least a little infantile knowledge of sports. And they're going to kind of maybe be able to connect the dots. If you can tell my disdain for most producers with sports, it's because most of them in local TV have no clue. And worse, they don't want to have a clue. Most of them. There's some good ones, but most of them just didn't care. We got in their way. You know, we just kind of got in the way. So, but there'll be that one that will say, We need LeVar Ball on the show tonight. And that's like, yeah, I'll get right on that. Just boom. Back to the reality of real sports here. And that is on the other side, Jordan Hamm with some news on the on a star quarterback in our state that his eligibility has just been in question. It's all over social media. It just happened. We have Mike Vaught coming up. Talk to the Lopes. Lopapalooza just took place, vice president of athletics at GCU. And then we have our Friday Night 360 AZ hashtag show coming up about 11:15. Some more college football, too, on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, Jordan is with us now, and I was trying to lay him out on social media and said I screwed up because he had to do a quick change to come on the air. And, I, you know, what do you want me to do?
You asked me to do the Superman change turnaround.
Yeah.
Phone booths aren't a thing anymore.
There's all these clothes in a corner here in our studio. Is this
shirt,
how your house is?
No, it's much worse. There's a shirt on the floor, and there's some dry cleaning hanging on a doorknob.
It's
10:33. Get in at 10:35.
Yeah.
That's the notice I had.
All right. So you have some breaking news.
Jack Miller, Chaparral quarterback, has been deemed eligible to play moving forward. Initially, with his transfer to Chaparral, was going to have to sit out the first five games. That's what they ruled. He went through the appeal process because there was a death on campus while he was playing a game, and he
actually happened while he was playing, and he actually heard the death, and it was a close family friend.
He was dealing with some of that, so that was part of the reason that he said he transferred over to Chaparral. Was deemed ineligible, but the appeal process went through. He's just going to miss these first two games that have already happened. He's eligible immediately. They don't play this week. They are in California next week, the Firebirds are. So number one quarterback in the 2020 class, according to 24/7 Sports. So
that's nationally or locally?
Nationally.
Nationally. So this is the number one quarterback in the nation who plays over at Scottsdale Chaparral.
Yeah.
You've talked about him quite a bit. I have yet to see him play.
Yeah, he's 15, but he's built like a 20-year-old. So he's going to be a guy that's
kind of like you.
Sure, but opposite. but he's a guy that is probably will be one of the most recruited players in Arizona when it's all said.
More than Rattler?
It'll be close. I think it'll be kind of a 1A, 1B thing. I think if Rattler didn't commit so early, he could have let that picked up quite a few
Florida
offers.
State was already at Chaparral checking him out.
Yeah, Florida State, Ohio State's very interested.
Yeah.
You know, both of the in-state schools are looking at him hard as well. So, he's a guy that's just a sophomore already picking up big offers.
All right, so that's going to be the lead, I'm sure, in your show.
Yep.
And what else do you have coming up with Haley at 11:15?
So we have Jose Garcia from AZ Preps 365.
Good guy.
Great guy. Yeah. We were on his show a couple weeks ago, so we are having him on to talk about kind of the overall landscape of the first 2 weeks. And then also Andrew Liberta from County Line Preps.
Andy.
Big Andy Liberta.
All right. So. And County Line Preps, it's a new website that's primarily in the far, far, far Southeast Valley, like Coolidge, Florence, Queen Creek, Poston Butte, Santan Foothills.
Pretty undercovered area.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. But it's growing.
Yeah, absolutely. And Andy's been working his tail off. So it's a good product and excited to see what comes of it.
All right. That'll be Jordan. That'll be Haley together coming up at about 11:15. Good stuff. All right. Before we get out of here, so on the college front, We've got some games. I mentioned earlier about Ohio State and how they play tomorrow night. And Eric's going to go to the Arizona State game and check it out. Is Jordan going to the game? Jordan's not going to go. So it's just you that's going to attend. Am I bad by not going tomorrow night? Do you think I should?
No.
No.
I don't know. You're the CEO of the company. I don't tell you what to do.
You do tell me what to do. Is there any reason to go tomorrow night?
I wouldn't think so, but it's week one.
And I'm going to be able to watch
things happen on week one.
I hear this. Well, there used to be this deal of...
Yeah, your earpiece today is just not cooperating.
I think my ear is grown overnight.
Maybe,
I don't know. Cauliflower.
Got to Q-tip it out or something.
That could be. No, I've heard this thing, well, you got to be in the press box in order to be... No, I don't. That press box is a half a mile away. The TVs aren't very good. And I don't need to sit there. I can get stats and TV and sit in my home base with the moat and the alligators and do just fine. And actually
I actually do have to be in the press box because I have DirecTV, so there is no Pac-12 network availability.
Don't you have some sports bars near your house?
Yeah, but most of them, I would think, have DirecTV too.
You go to the corner table and
maybe.
Set up a. I've done that.
Maybe.
I set up my computer. I just corner table, expense it. You know, we got a wealthy expense.
Seems like a lot of work for ASU New Mexico State. No offense to either of those teams.
A little cheese dip and a little iced tea.
Could go old school and listen to Tim Healy and Rapper. Stream
that
the
is
game.
Old school.
And stream the game.
Yeah, that's not bad. It's not bad. All right. We have so that's coming up tomorrow night, but we're very excited that finally, this is the first big weekend of college football. A lot of you are going to get out early for Labor Day weekend and the holidays. There's so many great games over the weekend. I'm going to watch Alabama and Florida State. I'm going to check out Michigan and Florida. I'm going to watch Texas A&M and UCLA. I'm going to watch Texas A&M because Christian Kirk is going to be a first-round pick. And the last time I checked, the Arizona Cardinals' depth at wide receiver is not what it once was. And last that I checked, number 11 is not going to be around here much longer. So if the Cardinals have a need, and there's several needs, every year teams have needs. But to find a breakout, explosive, big-time wide receiver like Christian Kirk, who's going to be a first-round NFL draft pick, unless injury hits him, I'm going to watch Texas A&M and UCLA. I'm going to watch that game because I happen to think Kevin Sumlin's a coach that is not going to be coaching at Texas A&M. Happen to think Kevin Sumlin has some ties here to Phoenix. Just saying, I'm going to watch for that reason. UCLA, who knows what's going to happen over there with Jim Moore. I think Jim Moore is on the hot seat just as much as Rich Rodriguez and as Todd Graham. So there's plenty of intrigue around those games this weekend. It's not just what the final score. It's how do they look and how do they play? Up next, we shift gears, talk to the Lopes, Mike Vaught, Vice President of Athletics at Grand Canyon University. Every Wednesday, Talk to the Lopes is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 airings a week. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. We appreciate all of our partnerships, including Grand Canyon University, where every week we talk to the Lopes. A month into it now, and this week, it is Vice President of Athletics, Mike Vaught, who joins us to talk about all things starting with Lopapalooza, which was absolutely crazy. Mike, appreciate you coming on the show. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Brad. Glad to be on with you.
Yeah, we saw each other the day that Dan and Sean Miller announced that they were playing basketball, and a lot has happened since then. Let's start with Lopapalooza, because the atmosphere, the ambience, my daughter went to GCU. She's actually going back to GCU starting this week, I believe. And it's been a crazy run for her. But on campus, she was saying, Dad, there's so much more energy than when I was here just a couple of years ago. Tell me about Lopapalooza.
Well, it was amazing. I went by there the other night, and I don't know if I've ever been in a place where you have an excited crowd, a full arena, and there's no game. It's pretty amazing. It's just a great kickoff to the school year. Our students and our Havocs group gets together and puts that on, and it lasts for about an hour. But, yeah, they were lined up as wide as the sidewalk. Could hold people all the way to the backside of campus, and there was probably 7,000 people in there. So it was a great event. So it really creates a lot of excitement to kick off the school year.
You ever see anything like the Havocs, Mike, in all your years
No.
of doing sports?
No, I've been in this business 30 years. I think I've been at maybe 8 universities, and yeah. I've never seen anything like it. It's a special group. You know, it's a great culture that President Mueller has created here at GCU, and just the transformation of the university the past 7 years is a story that will never be told again. And, you know, we just feel blessed to be here and be a part of it.
Talking with Mike Vaught. Okay, let's get into facilities. So the baseball stadium, Brazel Stadium, and what Andy Stankiewicz is going to have to work with. How is that coming along?
Actually, it's coming out of the ground really well. They're starting to put some of the roof on this morning. That's going to be ready by February, along with our softball stadium. I think you probably saw it last year. We got the competition area of the softball facility finished and played on it last year, but we didn't have time to finish and put the stadium in. So we used temporary bleachers last year. We're coming back this year, putting the permanent stadium in. Both facilities will meet requirements to host NCAA regionals here, so we're excited about that. And it's going to be great facilities for our students and our fans to come and view baseball and softball this spring.
And obviously for recruiting, it helps out because that class, you bring them here, you walk them around, they see the brick, they see the motor, they see the dirt being moved. You can come here and be part of this. I would imagine it's an easy sell.
It is, and it beats showing them a picture when you actually see a vision in action, and that's what happens here at GCU. Things happen fast, and we've had a lot of construction going on since I've been here. But from a recruiting standpoint, facilities are really important to prospective student athletes this day and time, and we have top 25 facilities, and really happy for our coaching staff and our student athletes to be able to use those and give them something to really be proud of.
Talk to the Lopes. Mike Vaught, the guest this week, Vice President of Athletics at Grand Canyon University. Every Wednesday, we talk GCU. In terms of facilities, Mike, can you give an idea of what is next in terms of what you want to add? You look at it as a staff, as a university. Here's some things we want to get to 2 years, 3 years, 2 months, 3 months down the road.
Well, we're in a position, we're at the tail end of a two-year plan that's been executed, and when the baseball softball facility is completed, we also have our strength and conditioning and our sports medicine facility. We've doubled the size of it and really built an incredible rec center, weight room area for the students in the same building. That's going to be done here in about another week. We opened tennis last spring. Our basketball practice facility opened back in May for men and women. And, we opened our golf course a little over a year ago, which is a fantastic place for the public to go play golf. So we really don't have any more facilities online at this time. We've done 10 in 2 years, and it's an incredible it's been an incredible ride. The support from our universities has just been spectacular, and it's really for everybody here at GCU, not just the student athletes. It makes it a pleasurable place, a great fan experience for anybody to bring their family, for our students to come and watch our teams play, and we're just in a great position from a facility standpoint.
What's impressive to me, Mike, is when you walk around there, and I've been doing this side of the business for 30 plus years as well, is there was a time where Title IX and gender equity were not really taken that serious, and obviously we're in a different time now where it is. The facilities for not just the guys, but for the ladies as well. I mean, you're talking about no drop-off, sharing facilities, all being used in the right way that both male and female are able to really execute what they need to get done.
Yeah, absolutely. Our beach volleyball team opened a new facility last spring. It's one of probably the nicest in the country. We have the capability to host tournaments here. We seat over 1,000. It's just a great atmosphere for beach volleyball, which is a really up-and-coming sport in NCAA. It's going to be even bigger next year. The facilities are for everybody here at GCU. Our GCU soccer stadium, we opened last year, is one of the best in the country for collegiate soccer, but we use it for intramurals, we use it for club sport championships. It's a community use facility, and we try to do that with all of our facilities here. We're all in this together. We're all collaborative, and it's just a real community feel here at this university, which makes it fun and exciting to be a part of.
What's interesting, too, on this is I think you look at coaches, and I'm sure when you first got here and the vision of what you saw was, wow, this could really be something special. Now that you've been in place and you've got coaches and administrators and people in the sports industry probably knocking down your door wanting to come work for you, how do you go about that, Mike? I mean, what is it when you bring someone on campus or they show an interest in any position within the athletics department, how do you go about it?
Well, I think we've in the last year with the Havocs, with everything that's happening here at GCU, we've really gotten a lot of national recognition, our national brand out with some of the basketball games we played last year across the country, and holding the 3-point contest here for ESPN on Final Four week. That was a huge event for us. I think they replayed it like 15 times on ESPN the following week. But good branding, good exposure for the university, and that's what it's all about. People are beginning to know who we are, know what's going on here, and when you get on campus, you can paint people a mental picture by talking of what it's like, but once you get on campus, there's a special feel here at GCU. The first time I stepped foot on this campus 6 years ago, I'm sorry, 3 years ago, it just felt special. It had that special tag in my mind, and it's really grown since then. And we bring people in to maybe interview for a job or a prospective student athlete, looking for an institution to attend, and I think they get that feel that this is a special place. The people are friendly. friendly. The students are friendly. We've put a great group of people together in the athletics department. We've got people from all over the country that's joined our staff here that want to be a part of something special, a part of something different, a part of something exciting. So I feel blessed and honored just to be a part of it.
When you have a coach like Nicole Powell that comes in, or you have a player like Casey Benson that comes in, and there's dozens and dozens of others, how active are you in wanting to sit across from them and figure out what makes them tick? Obviously, when you're hiring a coach, you're very, very involved. But how about a student athlete, a prospective person who wants to be a fifth-year transfer?
Yeah, our coaches, you know, they do a great job recruiting in all of our sports. And I'm available. I meet with most prospective student athletes and their parents that come on campus for an official visit or even an unofficial visit. I feel that's part of my duty to support our coaches in every way we can, and the more people that family can meet while they're on campus and get a different perspective and a different opinion on GCU and our athletics programs and that particular sport, I think is beneficial. So I'm involved all they want me to be, and that's quite a bit because we really do things together here, and I think that is the ingredient that's really making our department special right now.
A couple other questions from Mike Vaught this week. Talk to the Lopes, as we do every Wednesday, sports360az.com, Vice President of Athletics at Grand Canyon University. Every Wednesday we talk GCU. A couple things on conference affiliation. I get asked that most common. I mean, I get the Arizona State question asked about 10 times that, but I think that's been played out, okay? So in the conference affiliation game, okay, what can you say on conference affiliation as you and I are sitting here visiting today? I know you're part of the WAC, but in terms of the future of it.
Yeah, I get asked that question a lot too, Brad. It's amazing the things that are coming on the horizon and unknowns for the college landscape and athletics. I think there's a lot of speculation. I don't think anybody knows exactly what's going to happen at this point in time. But I do believe that around 2020, 2021, when a lot of these TV contracts start expiring, I think that's where you're going to see probably some major changes nationwide. And until that time, everybody's just trying to keep up with what they're hearing, what might happen, and be prepared and have a plan A, B, and C if things were to happen. So I don't think anything's going to happen, you know, here in the immediate future, but I do think down the road there's going to be some major changes in NCAA sports.
Yeah, I had the I refer to Jerry Colangelo because I hosted his show for many, many years as the Big Italian. So I had the Big Italian on a few months back, and he even hinted around that maybe there's some new conferences that could be formed once this all the TV side, as you referred to, that you could see some new conferences showing up. So I'm not looking for comment on that. I'm just merely throwing in my two cents.
I think there's a lot of options on the table that could happen. I think you may see some mid-major conferences merge.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a lot of things that may happen, and it all starts, you know, it's a chain reaction from the Power Five down. When things start moving, it's going to be a chain reaction, and you just have to be prepared and have to have some foresight to think things through and have a plan.
It is fair to say when I talk GCU out in the community that basketball is the driver. It is the football, right? I mean, it is Gonzaga. That is what Brian had told me 8, 9 years ago. It is Marquette. It is that type of university. Do you believe that as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's our marquee sport. We support all 21 sports, in all the areas that we're expected to. But that's the sport that gets the main exposure, the national visibility for our university. For the fall, we've hung our hat on men's soccer. It's kind of unique. Didn't realize this until I moved to Arizona that GCU is the only Division I men's soccer team in the state of Arizona.
Yep.
So we've kind of got the market cornered there, and that's why we invested so much in men's soccer for a fall sport because, you know, our students and our fans, they show up for our events, and they were kind of hungry for something to do in the fall. Until basketball season starts. So we've had, we broke an attendance record last Sunday night for women's soccer for the state of Arizona. We had over 3,200 at a women's soccer game, and then last year for the men was over 6,000. We broke the men's record. So that's kind of been our fall sport. And then when basketball season rolls in, you know, that carries us almost through the school year. And hopefully we'll be in postseason play this year now that we're eligible and get to participate in the NCAA tournament, which would be huge for GCU.
Yeah, and as I mentioned off the top when I saw you at the U of A press conference, obviously that is great for basketball. basketball fans within the state. It's great for the program to be able to put that together. I'm wondering, though, Mike, are you starting to hit that stretch where opponents do not want to come here, the name opponents, because of the close game with Louisville, because New Mexico comes here and loses, coach is gone, San Diego State comes here, coach retires. Is it becoming more difficult, and are you having schools that you have agreements with wanting to get out of those agreements, write checks to just please go away, we don't want any part of this?
I think any time you have a championship caliber program, that's difficult. When you look at the Power Five schools, most of those schools, if they're playing on the road, they're playing neutral site games.
Mm-hmm.
And as we grow our program, we're going to be in the same position that they're in. Scheduling is a big topic right now. You mentioned collaboration between conferences. I think you're going to see some scheduling alliances between some of the mid-major conferences on the horizon here to try to help people get home games. But where Dan Marley has put our program and his staff, they've done such a good job. Even through the four-year transition, I mean, it's harder to recruit basketball players, you know, the last 4 years, knowing they can't go to postseason play.
Right.
He
right.
has done a great job building the program those 4 years, as well as all of our other coaches. We've won a lot of WAC championships the past 3 years, and in a transition period where most schools don't. So, you know, kudos to all of our coaches that have gone through the transition and gotten us to this point where we now can compete for championships. And we've got a student athlete welcome back event tonight, and our motto for the year is be a champion.
Mm.
And that's what we've been waiting for this past four years, and that's what we're excited about.
Before I let you go, anything else you want to add? I haven't asked you about programs, a student athlete you just can't wait to get the story told, whatever it may be on campus around your athletic department.
Well, we're really proud of our academic support group here at the university and within our department. Our grade point for our student athletes was over a 3.4 last year, and that was over 400 kids. So the academic portion of our athletic department, we're really proud of. There's a lot of work and effort gone into that. We do a lot of things in the community as well as all of our students at the university. So our community outreach, our life skills program for our student athletes, and all the things they're doing sometimes go unnoticed because people watch the games and watch the scores, but they're
yep.
doing a lot of good things other than that. And we have a great group of student athletes here at GCU, and they're part of the student body, and they enjoy being here. They enjoy the people, and they really represent GCU well. So just really proud of all those guys, and excited to watch them perform this year. I met with the men's basketball team about 30 minutes ago, and it's just an exciting time now that we're through the transition and we're an active Division I institution for this year.
Good visiting with you. I appreciate the time. We'll see you down the road. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Brad. Have a good day.
Good stuff there. Mike Vaught, that is Talk to the Lopes. Every Wednesday, Talk to the Lopes, right here on Sports360AZ.com. On the other side, Friday night, 360AZ, the preview show with Haley Stasiak and Jordan Hamm, getting you ready for week two of high school football. That is on the other side on a Wednesday. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.